Thank you, Clint. Thank you, Seth. It's good to see all of you. Really good. Glad you're all here. I might break out in spontaneous, more than usual, spontaneous smiles throughout the sermon, just because it's just so good to be here. I could also tell how happy you all were to be here. There's about, I would say we're at about two-thirds capacity right now, and I think the singing was louder than it usually is, even with all of us, because I'm up here in the front, and I can hear it all. You should sit up front sometimes. It's way better, seriously, not just because you're closer to me. I'm just kidding, but seriously, you can hear all the people singing. It's really nice, and you guys were singing nice and loud. Mark 1, 29 through 39, go ahead and turn there in your Bibles or be there on your device. We're going to continue on with our series that we've titled, the whole series is called Follow the Leader, as you guys might remember. Hopefully you were able to watch on Facebook Live. There are many things in our lives that we would say are important to us, right? Maybe for some of you, dressing nice is important to you. Maybe for some of you ladies, having makeup on before you leave the house, maybe that's important to you. Maybe for you, being on time is important to you. Eating healthy might be important to you. Exercise might be important to you. There are things that we say, yes, that's important to me. Then there's another level of importance, isn't there? That level might include things like friends and family and your faith. And so, even among all these important things in your life, there are levels of importance, right? Because if being on time is important to you, you'd sacrifice that to go help a friend with a flat tire, right? If a friend says, I've got a flat tire, I do not have any way of fixing it, can you come help me? If you were planning on going to a movie, let's say, you probably wouldn't say, dude, I'll miss like the first 30 minutes of the movie if I come help you. I'm sorry. Probably wouldn't say that. You'd probably say, you know what? Of course I'm going to go help my friend, and I'll just have to be late to the movie. Big deal. But even among that second level of importance, friends and family and faith and things like that, there's even a level of importance there, isn't there? You might call some friends and say, I'm not going to be able to meet you all at the gym this week or this month because my 7-year-old really struggling with reading, want to make sure he goes into the next grade strong with that. So I'm going to be reading to him more. I'm going to be helping him with his letters and things like that. Not going to be able to come to the gym. Or maybe you go hunting and fishing with some friends and you say, you know what, I'm not going to be able to do that this month. My wife's struggling. I really feel like I should stick around the house more. I want to help her with the kiddos more. I want to help her with some cleaning so she can just rest and kind of de-stress a little bit. If that happens, what you'll probably hear back is what? Something like this, right? You'll probably hear something back like, no problem. It sounds like you've got your priorities straight, right? You probably hear something like that. Now, if the opposite were the case, if you went to the gym instead of helping your children, or if you went hunting and fishing instead of caring for your wife, someone might then say to you, hey man, your priorities are off. It's totally natural and right for us to prioritize things in our life. We have to, I would say. But since it's possible to have my priorities straight, and it's also possible to have my priorities off, I would tell you that the way to determine what should be a priority in your life is to look at the life of Jesus Christ, the perfect man, our perfect example, our leader. Look what he puts a priority on. Look how he prioritizes his priorities and do it that way, which is why I've titled the message this morning, The Priorities of Jesus. What was important to him? What did he place over and above other things? How did he prioritize his priorities? So we're going to look at that this morning. Before we get started, Will you bow with me? Lord, thank you so much that we're back together again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I've thought about this day for a long time. I thought what it would be like, and it's not disappointed so far, Lord. And I pray, knowing that you never disappoint us. And so I pray, Lord, please, would you speak to us through your word this morning? Would you please help me to speak it rightly, to preach and teach rightly? And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be pleased to carry that truth into our hearts and help us to be like Jesus in this world. And we'll thank you for that so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, verse 29. Look with me at verse 29. Immediately, he left the synagogue, entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. So here's one of those immediately texts. Remember, we talked about how Mark is a very fast-paced gospel, and here's one of the examples we see. Immediately, they did this. They leave the synagogue, go to the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John with them. As you recall, they were at the synagogue last week, remember? Jesus casting out a demon, that he was preaching, and people said, what authority this is. Wow, we're noticing his authority. What happens now at this house? Verse 30, Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever. Immediately they told him about her. So, Simon's mother-in-law, what's that imply? Well, of course, that Simon was married. We do not hear really much at all about Simon's wife. And by the way, Simon is Peter. We just know that he was married. It's also mentioned in 1 Corinthians that he was married. We don't get any more about it. But it does show that for people that Jesus calls into ministry, people that Jesus calls into a life of leadership, even in ministry, marriage is not forbidden, is it? She was not with them at the synagogue, more than likely. Why was that? She lay ill with a fever. The parallel text to this in the book of Luke says that it is a high fever. Luke was a physician. And so when you read through Luke, what you'll notice is occasionally he'll actually give some kind of medical phrases. And so he mentions that it was a high fever in the book of Luke, denoting that she was pretty sick. It's not just a cold. She was very sick, more than likely. And they bring her to Jesus' attention. It says in verse 30, they told him about her. Jesus then goes to her, verse 31. And he came to her, took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and the fever left her. In Luke's parallel to this, Luke says that he rebukes the fever. So, how did it happen? Did he lift her up? Yes. Did he rebuke the fever? Yes, he did both. Jesus has power over these things. Jesus has power over our health, and this was a priority right now for Jesus. He wanted to make her well. He cast this fever out of her, and what happens? Immediately, something happens. She gets up and starts to serve them. She doesn't just get up and say, thanks, Jesus. You know, I'm still tired, though. I'm just going to keep laying down. No, she gets up, and immediately she says, I'm going to now serve you all. I think there's a reason Mark mentions that. I think there's a reason, because he didn't have to. Did he have to say, and immediately she started serving them? No. Obviously, his point is to point out that, look what Jesus can do. But why did the Holy Spirit inspire this? You know, the Holy Spirit never wastes words. God's not into waste at all. He's not. Even when Jesus made the 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish turn into enough to feed 5,000, what did he tell the disciples? Go pick up the fragments. Let us not waste a bit. Christian, nothing in your life that's happened to you is waste. It's for a purpose, even the hard things, okay? Be encouraged by that. The Holy Spirit does not waste words. He mentions that she begins to serve them. She began to do one of the things that she was made to do. One of the things that she was made to do. Women do naturally take more of a service role in the home. They do. And I would even say that that's where they find one of their greatest joys, because they're stepping into what God made them to do. And after she received this healing touch that made her physically whole, she immediately fell into a role that she probably really enjoyed and that she was obviously designed for. When Jesus touches your life, he moves you towards, let me put it this way, he moves you closer to what you were made for. When Jesus touches your life, he moves you closer to what you were made for. Secondly, when Jesus touches your life, he also exposes your life to something that's true about his life. When Jesus touches your life, he exposes you to something that's true about his life. Peter's mother-in-law began to serve them. Guess what? The Son of Man also came to serve, didn't he? Earlier, prior to this, he called his disciples to be fishers of men. Guess what? Jesus was also a fisher of men, wasn't he? He cast darkness out of people when casting demons out of him. Guess what? In him is no darkness at all. When Jesus touches your life, he's exposing your life to something that's true about his life. And that touch is supposed to affect change in you. And that change is supposed to mirror Jesus Christ. And in mirroring Jesus Christ, you begin to step into what you were made for. She began to serve them, it says. Now look at verse 32. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. That evening at sundown, it says. That's when they began to bring people to Jesus. Why? Why did they have to wait till sundown? Why did they wait till sundown? It's dark at that point. What's the deal? Well, as you know, the Jewish day goes from sunset to sunset, doesn't it? Their day starts when darkness starts. That's the beginning of their day. And it ends at the next sundown. Why? Well, because if you recall Genesis 1, there was evening and there was morning the first day. So the Jews go from dark to light, and that's their day. So it's significant here that it says, that evening at sundown, they began to bring them. Why? Well, because they were wanting to obey Sabbath rules. Because where were they prior to this? They were at the synagogue. What day was it? It was the Sabbath day. So sun goes down. Then they now feel like, oh, we can carry people to Jesus now. We can possibly travel long distances now to get to Jesus. Why? Well, because they were under rules, man-made rules, that the rabbis and the Pharisees put into place because God is just true. God in the Old Testament, he's not super specific about exactly all the details of Sabbath day stuff. He says, don't work. Make sure you rest. Make sure you worship. But then the Jews had to then say, okay, then what's work? What? How do we define work then? And so they said, well, then don't carry stuff. Maybe don't even walk too far. And so they started putting in rules. And so these people were obviously afraid to break those rules. And so that's why they didn't do anything until that evening at sundown. That's why they started, lest they upset some of these religious leaders. In fact, we're going to see later in Jesus' life that he himself begins to come under the scrutiny of the religious leaders, doesn't he, for Sabbath day stuff. It's almost like he chooses to heal people on the Sabbath because he does it on the Sabbath a lot. And they get all mad about that, don't they? How can you be from God if you don't obey his rules, rules that we've put into place that we say these are his rules, totally ignoring that there's a whole well person standing right there. And they just say, you've got to be a sinner. Church, don't let man-made rules cause you to miss Jesus as well. I'm telling you right now, it's in your subconscious and you don't even realize it. You've got some things burned in your DNA. We were just talking about this morning, actually. There were some things burned in people's DNA back in the 70s and 80s that said, oh, look at all this stuff on my face right now. I would have been in real trouble being in a Southern Baptist church with all these whiskers on my face in the 70s and 80s, right? And these jeans, whoo, oh, and these socks, oh, I'd have been kicked out. They would have had a meeting and said, vote that liberal out of there. And there's still things in your DNA, I'm telling you, they're there, and you don't realize it, that will sometimes come into your head, we've never done it that way before, therefore it must be wrong. So be careful, okay? Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Let this be your guide, not this, okay? And they missed it. But that's why these people come at sundown, because there's these rules put into place. Verse 33, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. So again, here's a priority for Jesus. He wouldn't do it if it wasn't a priority in his life. He's not going to get strong-armed into anything. So he's doing this because he wants to. This is important to him. He's casting out demons and he's healing people. And it says he's doing it for many. It actually says the whole city was gathered at the door. Now this is phenomenal, and I don't want us to be too quick to read over this. Because you'll read these two verses and you'll be like, well, of course Jesus is healing many with various diseases. Of course he's casting out many who are possessed by demons. That's what Jesus does. On to verse 35. Let's move past this. No, let's not move past this too quickly. This is significant, very significant. We need to immerse ourselves into what this world would have felt like. There's still a lot of places in the world right now that if you travel to are going to be similar to this. You can go to very impoverished countries and still see a lot of things like this where there are no state-of-the-art medical facilities, there are no pharmaceutical drugs, there are no pharmacies. And so it would have been a world that you're very desperate. And you know a lot of people who have ailments. Let me help immerse us into this. Let me ask you some questions. And I'm going to have to raise my hand for actually both of these questions that I'm asking you, so don't be ashamed. How many of you, on a consistent basis, either daily, weekly, monthly perhaps, how many of you have to take some type of medication to help you with some type of pain management or help you with some type of medical condition to help you live normally? How many of you have to do that on a consistent basis? Okay, it's about a third of us. It's about a third of us, maybe even a little more. I do too. Weekly, I have to take, like you, a synthetic, man-made drug to help me be normal, help me feel normal again, okay? I do too. Now, let's say I take that away from you, okay? All of you who raised your hand, I just took that out of your life. You now have to exist in your condition. I have to exist in my condition now. This is helping you feel this text. Think about what these people would have been like. So now you're existing in your state without your help, okay? Next, how many of you have ever had some type of surgery to either relieve some type of pain, correct some type of physical problem, or save your life? How many of you have had to have some type of surgery? Okay, that's almost half of us. All right, now guess what? I'm taking that out of your life. How's life for you at this point? How are things going? Probably less good, right? 13 years ago, I had to have inguinal hernia surgery, and so to repair my abdominal wall. And so guess what? Now for the last 13 years, I would have been very limited on how active I can be, even how I can sleep, what I can lift. It would have changed a lot about the last 13 years of my life without that. So now, I've pulled all that out of your life. So now just think of how desperate these people are. Think about if you heard of someone in the next town or even the next county, and you heard, He speaks to demons and they leave people. He touches people and they're just healed. You would probably travel a long way for some help. I know I would. I'd be like, what? Yeah, listen, dude, he can just touch you and you're whole. I saw it. You'd go. You'd have some hope. So that's physical stuff. Now, what about this demon possession? Because people with demons were being taken to him as well. What if you knew someone whose life was just, his or her life was just a wreck? It just seems like the life just goes from one bad choice to the next. It seems like they just always seem to be falling into this pattern of self-sabotaging. No amount of logic, no amount of good advice, that same logic and good advice and physical help that helped other people get their life back on track, it does not matter with this person. He just not helped. His life is a wreck. He suffers from severe depression, talks about hurting himself, hurting other people, constantly angry. Maybe won't look at you in the eyes, just walks around bothered and distressed all the time and angry. This is your friend. Maybe this is someone at your home. And Jesus is able to just look at someone like that and say, come out of him. And he convulses and he screams and he shakes around on the ground. And everybody backs up and they're scared. And then all of a sudden this man calms down, sits up, looks around, slightly confused, rubs his face a little bit, and looks you in the eye, and you're looking at clear eyes now, and you're looking at somebody that's smiling, and just looks like somebody that got let out of a cage, and you're like, wow, did you see what I just happened? That's why I don't want us to read over these verses. You've got to just get yourself into this text and imagine what life is like for some of these people who are desperate to see Jesus Christ. John 10:10 says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This was a priority of Jesus. He came to give people abundant life. He came to heal these people and set people free. But what about Jesus' other priorities? Do we see other priorities of Jesus in this text? Yes, we do. I think we see three priorities of Jesus in this text. So let's look at the next one. Verse 35, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Simon and those who were with him searched for him, found him, and said, everyone's looking for you. So what other priority do we see there of Jesus? Well, prayer. Prayer was a priority for Jesus. And notice what it says. It says, rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. If you're willing to get up early and do something, it's definitely a priority for you. When's the last time you got up really early while it was still dark to do something? That's for those of, if you work third shift, you're like, well, I get up when it's dark all the time. Okay, yes, you do. Pretend you're not working third shift. Pretend you go to bed when it's dark and you wake up when it's light like the rest of us. When was the last time you got up really early before the sun came up for something? I can tell you this, whatever it was important to you. At least at that time, it was important to you, right? You can usually tell what's a priority for something, even if you don't get up before dark. I can probably watch the first 2 hours of your life after you wake up, and I can probably see what your priorities are. If you're getting up and you're getting ready for work, okay, this guy, his job is important to him. Being on time is important to him. Can watch you if you get up. If you're reading the Bible at any point in those first 2 hours, I'm like, okay, well, that must be important to them. And granted, listen, I'm not saying, if you don't read the Bible within the first 2 hours, obviously God's not important to you. Not saying that. But I'm just saying, usually, isn't that true? Usually what you're doing within the first 2 hours after you wake up, more than likely, that's a priority for you. And Jesus, think about this. Think about this. Though Jesus would have no doubt been up very late. Why? The text says people started coming to him when the sun went down. That's just when they started coming. Okay? That's when they started getting there, when it was dark. And very likely it was an exaggerated phrase, just like we use exaggerated phrases. It's probably an exaggerated phrase when it says the whole town came out to him. Really? There was no one in any house, anywhere. No babies asleep or mom caring for the... It means a lot. It means a whole lot of people were at that door, at that house, trying to get close to this man. So still, think about this. They started getting there at dark, and I seriously doubt, I know I wouldn't. Let's say I had a wife who's been in constant pain for the last 2 or 3 months of her life, and we got there right when it got dark. I probably wouldn't say, sweetie, it's probably like 9 or 10. Let's just go. I'm sleepy. No. I would wait for hours and hours and hours. I'd be like, I don't care that I have to go to work tomorrow. I'm watching this guy and people that are going up to him in extreme pain, people that are going up to him hunched over, people that are going to him crippled. They're walking away whole. I'm waiting a long time. I don't care. I don't care. And so I'm telling you right now, they would have had to chase people away. Jesus would be exhausted because he's not just going to heal for a few hours and then be like, I'm done. He was up late. I'm telling you, he was up really late. And he still gets up before the sun's up? Why? Communion with his Father was really important to him. It was very important. Restoration, probably. Just getting kind of restored back in his soul again. He got spent. He was in a human body like us. I mean, did you ever think about this? I don't know if you actually thought about this. Think about this. Remember when Jesus and his disciples are in that big storm on the Sea of Galilee? And it says Peter goes up to him and wakes him up and says, Master, don't you care that we're drowning? Aren't you going to do something? Guys, they were in a boat, half the size of this stage, in a storm. Okay? It would have been doing this. Water would have been coming over the edge. Jesus was asleep. How do you sleep through that? I mean, sometimes in our house, I have to take a nap with earplugs. You know why? Little children are like, ah! And I'm like, ugh. I'm all grumpy. I mean, that's just if I hear a little noise. Why was he asleep in a storm in a little boat? How? Why? He was exhausted. Like you and I get. Have you ever been that exhausted? Well, he was. Apparently. And here he is, no doubt tired, getting up very early to pray. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. I need fellowship with my Father. I need it. And so, listen, church, I know, and I feel within me too, the pull to be lazy. I feel it. I feel it just like you all, okay? I do. I also experience and am pulled away by these distractions. I've stayed up way too many nights wasting my time watching Netflix and YouTube. I have, and so have you, okay? I've just done that. I feel that too, okay? I feel in myself also a need to be more like Jesus here. I feel that too. That's why reading things like this and reading great missionary biographies or great biographies of people of the faith of old or remembering these lyrics that I'm going to read to you in just a moment from Keith Green, a music artist from the 80s, 70s and 80s, they spur me on to want to be better. They do. And that's what this text is supposed to do for us too. We're supposed to read this and say, yes, yes, I need to be better. Listen to what Keith Green says. He's like I mentioned, a music artist from the 70s and 80s and went to be with Jesus in 1982 when he was just in his upper 20s, died way too young, but God, it was God's will. This is from one of his songs called Asleep in the Light. And it's talking about kind of what we're talking about here when it comes to our priorities and having things right. He says, open up and give yourself away. You see the need, you hear the cries, so how can you delay? God's calling and you're the one, but like Jonah, you run. He's told you to speak, but you keep holding it in. Oh, can't you see it's such a sin? The world is sleeping in the dark that the church just can't fight because it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave and you can't even get out of bed. Oh, Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, get out of your bed. So yes, very pointed words. But sometimes those pointed words are the ones that poke us and prod us on to be better, don't they? Jesus made prayer a priority. And listen, you can make prayer more of a priority in your life very simply. Keep it simple. Listen, I know how we get. I know how we are when we determine, okay, you know what? I'm gonna do this thing. We always overly complicate it. I promise you, you overly complicate it. Think about people that say, you know what? I'm gonna get in shape. I'm gonna do it. I need to start looking for a gym. I'm gonna get a gym membership, and I should probably get a private instructor there because that'll keep me accountable. But you know what? I need gym clothes though. I gotta get some gym clothes too. And I'm gonna have to, I need some better shoes. I'm not going in the gym with those ugly things. And so also, I got to change what I eat. I better make a list of what I need to buy at Walmart then. Or maybe I should go to Whole Foods because theirs is better. Yeah, I should probably go to Whole Foods. What about protein powder? I better start researching that too. And we just oversimplify it, don't we? When what you should just do is say, I need to get in shape. Okay, I'll do 15 jumping jacks right now here in my bedroom. Just do 15 jumping jacks every day that week. And then next week, do 30 jumping jacks. Guess what? You're in better shape. We just overly complicate things. So I don't want you to say, you know, I should make prayer a priority too, like Jesus. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up before the sun comes up tomorrow, and I'm going to set my alarm for an hour. I'm going to pray for an hour. And you know what? There's that old closet that we don't use anymore. I'm going to organize it, and I'm going to make it a little prayer closet. So I better go to Lowe's, and I better get some shelving to clean that up. And I want verses in there so I can look at those and be encouraged. What verses should I get? Better make a list. Should I get a prayer journal? I probably should get a prayer journal. How about you just pray? How about you just pray right now? Lord, help me to make prayer more of a priority. I feel you tugging me in that direction. In Jesus' name, amen. How about that? Congratulations. You prayed more. So just keep it simple, guys. I'm just telling you, don't overly complicate this. You do that, we do that, I do it. You want to make something a priority? Then just start moving slowly towards it and keep it simple. Keep it very simple. Now, there's levels of importance even among the priorities of Jesus, too. Watch this. Because, like I mentioned earlier, you can have multiple priorities, but even among those, there's some things that are more important than others. So how did Jesus prioritize his priorities? Well, look at this. This is just interesting. So Jesus is out praying. The disciples wake up the next morning. Jesus is not where he fell asleep. They're walking around the house. Where is he? And I promise you, there's people the night before that didn't get healed because it says people from the whole town were there. And it says he cast demons out of many. And he healed many. It doesn't say all. So I promise you, as soon as the sun came up, is the teacher here? We were the next in line last night, and you guys sent us away. You guys said it was time for us to all to go home. So I was the next in line. My wife's been sick for 3 months. Is the teacher here? Hey, we were actually here before you. And plus, we walked all the way from such and such a town. We walked way farther than you did. Is the teacher? Where's the teacher? And so they're like, find Jesus. That's why. Look at verse 36 and 37. Simon, those who were with him, searched for him, and they found him and said, he doesn't say, I was looking for you. What's he say? Everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you. Everyone's looking for you, Jesus. Jesus' reply is both shocking and kind of humorous. Peter says, everyone's looking for you, Jesus. Where have you been? Everyone's looking for you. Let's go, essentially. And what's Jesus say? Let's go to the next towns. If you've got the NIV, it words it this way. Everyone is looking for you. Let's go somewhere else. That's the way it words it. Let us go somewhere else. Now that should shock you, and it is kind of humorous too, isn't it? But that should shock you. People were still not healed. People were still not healed, and Jesus left them that way. Why does he say, let's go to the next towns? Look at the rest of verse 38. That I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. The New American Standard Bible says, for that is why that is what I've come for. The NIV says, that's why I have come. The New King James says, for this purpose I have come forth. But we get the point. Jesus is saying, that's why I've come. I've come to preach truth. I've come to preach the word of God. Unless you say, that's not very Christian of Christ. Why would he not heal every single person? For that matter, why doesn't he heal every single person on planet Earth? Shame on you. Why doesn't he heal every single person on planet Earth? Well, there's priorities, even that God has, even that Jesus Christ has. His priority wasn't to physically heal every single person on planet Earth. He had something else in mind, didn't he? Apparently, something's more important than our physical health. Listen to John 18, verse 37. Listen to John 18, 37. I'm going to give you guys a bunch of verses very quickly about Jesus saying why he came. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world. Why, Jesus? Tell us. Tell us why you were born and why you came into the world. Tell us. To bear witness to the truth. Everyone who's of the truth listens to my voice. He came to bear witness to the truth, to give out truth with his mouth. To what end, Jesus? What's the goal, Jesus? Well, what did Jesus say after the salvation of Zacchaeus? Listen to Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He tells us again why I came. I came to seek lost people and save lost people. Lost people. Listen to 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world. Why, Jesus? Tell us. To save sinners. To save sinners. The end goal was the salvation of souls. Jesus' priority was preaching the truth. Bearing witness to the truth, that lost sinners may hear it, that they may believe the word of God, that they may be saved. But something else had to be done first. Something else had to be done to make that a whole package. He had to procure their salvation. He had to be their way to the Father, didn't he? Not with the blood of bulls and goats are we saved, because they just provided a temporary covering. But by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, with his own blood. Listen to Mark 10:45. He tells us again why he came. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. His uppermost priorities at the beginning of his ministry, were prayer and preaching. Did he heal too? Absolutely. But his uppermost priorities were prayer and preaching at the beginning of his ministry. His priority at the end of his ministry was the procuring and the securing of salvation for all those that would believe through his death and burial and resurrection, that all those who were of the truth, who listened to that truth that he gave them, put their faith in him. He then is the one who gets that salvation for them. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. Does it? If I put my faith in Jesus and he's not the one who actually gets my salvation, if he's not the one who actually takes the punishment that I deserve, if he's not the one who actually gets me to heaven, then I get nothing. Has receiving that gracious offer of forgiveness and reconciliation with God, has that ever been a priority in your life? Has that ever been one of your priorities? How do I be saved? Has that ever made you lose sleep? Has that ever bothered you? I know you have things that you consider important in your life, because we all do. But as we learned in the beginning, you can have your priorities straight or your priorities can be off. Christian, those of you who have believed, you've seen Christ as more important than other things in your life. You have forsaken things because of Jesus. Some of you forsook things to even come to Christ in the first place. You've come to him in faith. Now that you're in the faith, have your priorities shifted at all? Has laziness crept in? Has the world, the flesh, or the devil, has it caused you to get your priority off some? If so, guess what? I've got good news for you. Okay? You want the good news? The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. What does that mean? If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What you find when you go to him is you find a compassionate king who's understanding. He's also been in the flesh like you. He understands tiredness. He understands the pull of laziness. He understands distractions. He understands that. Did he ever fall into any of them? No. But he's felt that. He knows what that's like. And he's forgiving and he's kind. And he can help you refocus. He can help you redirect your priorities, because he's good and he wants to. He wants to. Just like if any of your children got a little off on something and then came to you and said, Mommy, Daddy, will you help me with this? And that was music to your ears. You wouldn't say, heck no. Remember what you did last week? You'd say, of course, Angel, of course I'll help you with that. I love you so much. And Jesus says about you, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus calls you evil. And look what love you're capable of. What do you expect to get from him who has perfect love? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. Just go to him and confess and ask for help. You know, God's been convicting me a lot lately with my impatience. You know what I prayed this morning? Lord, please help me to be more patient. Wow. What a theologically deep prayer, right? Start there, okay? Start there. How about that? You struggling with something? You off? Lord, please help me with this. Start there. Get those priorities straight again and keep it simple and put in some healthy habits. Put those simply into place and build upon them little by little. Now I'm about to pray and close this out. And what I want from you is I want you to pray while I pray, okay? You have something to confess to the Lord, confess it. You want to ask him for help? Ask him. And keep it simple. Keep it simple. You'll find a merciful king. Because don't you want to hear him? Don't you want to hear him say to you when you meet him, well done, good and faithful servant. I do. Will you bow with me? And pray while I'm praying. Lord, thank you for this truth. Thank you for meeting us here this morning. This text has been rich. It's been good. It's been a feast. It's been a feast for me, Lord, and I pray, cause your people to feast on it, Lord. Lord, you've shown us yourself this morning. and you're passing by right now, and Lord, you are generous with grace. Your light is shining on us, Lord, and we are living in it. And so, Lord, please continue to shine that light on us. And I pray, help us to be exposing ourselves to that light again and again and again. We expose ourselves to so much darkness in the world. We do. So, Lord, please help us to be exposing ourselves to light, to push that out as we pray, as we read your word, as we walk in obedience. Help us to have our priorities straight and to have our priorities be your priorities. We pray all this in Christ's perfect name. Amen.